This sermon is for Christmas Day 2019. Isn't it amazing how in this era of virtual online communication, the sending of physical Christmas cards is experiencing a revival? Well, it's true in our neighbourhood, and if you look on the strings that are lining the walls in my house this Christmas, there are many Christmas cards, and many of them today have pictures of the classic nativity as we know it in all the commercial enterprise of greeting cards. While some say that the message of Christ is disappearing from Christmas, it seems that Christmas cards with Bethlehem on them are making a revival. But I wonder how many of us take time to what's actually written inside our Christmas cards. What message our friends are sending us this Christmas time. I was reading an author, Stephen Nichols. He tells of Christmas for detainees on a prison on the English Channel island of Jersey. Now, the most dangerous offenders there were sent a card by the States of Jersey police to remind them that they were being watched. The cards, which were hand-delivered to the prisoners, read, "Thinking of you during this festive season and in the year ahead, from all your friends at the States of Jersey Police." Thinking about Christmas cards about 700 years before the birth of Christ, God sent a kind of ancient Christmas message, a Christmas card, if you like, in the form of the prophet Micah and some of his predictions. For instance, in chapter 5 of that Old Testament book bearing his name, Micah declared the words of God to the ancient peoples of the nation of Judah. Their rejection of God's goodness over many decades was about to land them in a different kind of prison, an invasion by and ultimately, submission to a world superpower in those ancient days. At first, Micah's message contained a warning about Judah's imminent circumstances. You can see that in verse 1 of chapter 5 of the prophet Micah. But this Christmas message from God through Micah also offered hope in the distant future, a hope that connected back many, many years to the promises of old, God's promises to Israel's ancestors that were to benefit the whole world. You'll see that in verses 2 to 5. We often hear them read in Christmas services. The prophet Micah says on behalf of God, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient of days." For just a moment or two, let me ask you to put aside in your mind those pictures of the Nativity and of Bethlehem in that caricature that you see on many Christmas cards in the shops at present. For Bethlehem, in those days of Micah's prophecy, and indeed in the days when Jesus is said to have been born there, was a nowhere place. It was anathema to Romans, forgotten by the Jews, of no consequence to the other nations, either in terms of trade or politics or significance of any kind. Micah mentions what little significance there is of this town at the time when he prophesies such hope to come from it. But in its former days, of course, Bethlehem was associated with a great figure, a great leader. Luke mentions it in his gospel when writing of the Nativity. A great leader, the central figure of Israel's hope, King David, was associated with this town in older times. It was even known as the town of David, a place of great pride and status in Israel's early history. Yet to suggest this in the period of history of Micah, or indeed of the first century AD, that a saviour, a king, a messiah, a chosen one would be born in a town like Bethlehem, that was kind of like suggesting your local garbage collector would be the next monarch of England. And so in Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, there is a likeness in the lowliness, a likeness to that ancient prophecy about Bethlehem, to the circumstances in which Jesus is born. Born not to a princess, but to a peasant girl. Announced not to a potentate or priest, but to lowly shepherds. His birth announced not in a parliament or a palace, though he was said to be a king, but in a place of no contemporary significance or worth. Yet Bethlehem's true worth would be forever restored in the child who grew to become Saviour and Lord in the plans of God, Jesus the Christ. In 1958, a painting called Salvator Mundi exchanged hands for a mere £45 in England. It appeared certainly to have been painted over many times, and it was suggested that the kind of era and style suggested maybe a student of Leonardo da Vinci had originally done this work, but many had overlaid it since that time. And it was hung in obscurity for decades without any apparent worth or significance in the eyes of the world. And in this story, I found a perfect illustration of this true worth of Bethlehem, the true worth of Jesus Christ. For in 2005, a group of art experts who inadvertently saw this painting, Salvator Mundi, which had exchanged hands for a mere £45, they met to discuss suspicions they had about its origins. Was it really just an insignificant piece by a student, reworked by amateurs? Or was there, as they suspected, a deeper truth to be uncovered? So a small syndicate bought the £45 painting for $10,000 on the gambit that it was of much greater worth than the world imagined. They believed it may be the work of the master, not the student. And they were right. As they applied their great techniques and the build-up of other paint was carefully removed, sure enough, Da Vinci's original masterpiece was revealed underneath the layers. What once exchanged hands for £45 was then on-sold in November 2017 for, wait for it, $50 million at Christie's in New York. Salvator Mundi, the title of the painting, means Saviour of the World. What happened to the painting tells us something true about Bethlehem long ago. Its true worth was obscured, overlaid with all sorts of wayward historical reputation. Yet underneath the layers, that town of David had great significance in the plans of God. This too can be said for Jesus Christ himself and his lowly birth at Bethlehem. His true worth is often obscured from view by the many distractions in our own time and over history, layers upon layers, obscuring the origins, the work of the Master beneath, Jesus the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Over the centuries, the truth about Jesus has indeed been hidden from many. Just as the unlikeliest of places, Bethlehem, gave us the greatest treasure of all, so this Christmas I hope you will be aware in your hearts and minds that the layers will be peeled back for you so that you see the true worth of the one who was born, yes, in obscurity, yet made glorious through his life, in his death for sin, in his rising to new life in the power of the living God. A Merry Christmas to you all.